Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Today is April 5th. I'm going to play something I think everybody needs to hear, because this is going to happen in a state near you, town, city, whatever. This is by, first of all, hello, everybody. I'm sorry about that. I'm just kind of, I'm winging it here. I'm trying to work three things at once. But this is a National Press Club address in Australia. It's done by Ferret of the United Motorcycle Council, New South Wales. So after this, I'm going to open the lines up for anybody who wants to call. Anything you want to talk about, we'll go for it from there. But I think everybody needs to hear this.
Good afternoon. My name's Ferret. I work in a tattoo parlor in the western suburbs of Sydney. I'm a father of two, a grandfather of five. I've been a member of the Finks Motorcycle Club for 22 years, and it's as much a part of who I am as being a father or a grandfather. It's where I've met my best friends, spent some of the milestones of my life, and found people who share my lifelong interest in motorcycles. Contrary to what you may hear from government press releases, being a Fink doesn't mean that I must be involved in drug trafficking, violence, intimidation, or any other form of crime. Organising it, participating in it, or condoning it. But that's me. I'm not here to tell you members of motorcycle clubs are all saints. There may be people amongst our members who've been in trouble, and what happened at Sydney Airport was a tragedy. Hopefully, with the clubs now sitting together on the United Motorcycle Council, communication between clubs can be improved to alleviate any further tension. My message to you today is that the behaviour of the few does not give our state governments the right to punish the majority. Does not give the government or the police the right to apply a different legal standard to people who look like me or belong to my club. Most of all, it does not make it right for the government to pass laws that lead to innocent people losing their jobs. And that's exactly what's happening. About 2 weeks ago, a member of a Christian motorcycle club in New South Wales was told to stop associating with people in the United Motorcycle Council or lose his public service job. My message today is that all people living in Australia should be free to lawfully associate. Our existing laws are sufficient to punish crime and corruption. There's no need in this country for a law that says that any citizen can lose their livelihood and be declared a criminal simply by talking to someone else. The behaviour of the few does not justify punishing or taking away the rights of the whole. Think about it this way. If the behaviour of a few was enough to justify a criminal tag being applied to all, then Anna Bligh up in Queensland should be declaring her own party a criminal organisation. And our Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, would also be guilty because his party has accepted donations from individuals named by US Senate as having associates involved in organised crime. As I said, I'm not trying to say all bikers are saints, just like not all politicians or police are squeaky clean. But I would say that there is more organised criminal activity every day in Australia's governments and police services than you would ever find at your local biker clubhouse. I'm honoured to be here today representing the 18 clubs of the UMC of New South Wales and speaking on their behalf. There are two things I'd like to achieve from this event. Firstly, I'm going to ask you, the members of the media and government, to write and speak fairly about us and our members. And I'm going to ask you to apply a healthy degree of scepticism to what you hear coming out of the government about bikers and crime. Secondly, I'm going to challenge the media to apply these laws, the same laws of scrutiny and the same concern for human rights that were applied in this country to the previous government's anti-terror laws. These anti-association laws are continuing the job the previous government started stripping away our legal rights. Now, firstly, about the media. You may have noticed we don't comment on what's written about us. We rarely tell our side of the story. What do you think about motorcycle clubs? You probably assume from the way we look, what you've read about in the news, seen in biker movies, or been told by the government or police. I guess you could say that the way we've been portrayed over the years isn't something we've fought against. What this means is that what's said about us has gone uncontested. Many of you may argue that you think the bikers deserve whatever bad publicity we get. However, something we've been looking at pretty closely lately is the fact that there's a double standard from government about the way information released about bikers is treated. And one of my key reasons to talk to you today is to ask you, members of the media, to be aware of how the government talks about us and to be less example. We've all heard recently about TV actress Jodie Gordon being found with an alleged Rebels biker. This story took a life of its own as it was reported and re-reported as fact by media around the country. The fact is, the guy in the story is not a biker. He's never been a member of the Rebels or any other club. However, at some point, he has had friends in a motorcycle club or ridden a motorcycle. As a result of this, bikers get the credit for the behaviour of some TV star we haven't even met. Let me give you another example. The Daily Telegraph, Tuesday, July the 14th. Headline, Bikey Linked to Law Chief. We have a look and discover. It's about a convicted drug criminal worked undetected for 4 years in the state government's highest law office after changing a name. Does this sound serious? We'll look for the link. On the front page, we don't discover anything about bikers. So we go to page four. Oops. So we go to four. It then mentions the Attorney General. He's not a biker. Well, he's not in the thinks. Then it mentions the Premier. He's not a biker. And with his popularity, he probably wouldn't get in anyway. So where's the biker link? So then it mentions the woman's boyfriend. Surprise, surprise. He's not a biker. Then we go to the brother. Another surprise. Not a biker either. But we find that he was, in newspaper speak, allegedly linked to a motorcycle club. So hang on. The headline, Biker Linked to Law Chief, is actually so far from a real link to the Attorney General, it's ridiculous. Does anyone here in this room know the game 6 degrees of separation? I'm pretty sure that if I tried hard enough, I could find, from within my friends, relatives, people I've once met at the gym, a chain of people that would lead me to some very interesting, influential people. But does it mean I know them? So I asked around. And someone who works with me now, as an associate, is a former employee of Kevin Rudd. Therefore, Prime Minister, I bet you didn't know this. But there is a think link directly to your office in Parliament House. The same distance to connection with the alleged link to the story in the Daily Telegraph. Of course. Do I know Kevin Rudd? No. Have I met Kevin Rudd? No. Do I have any influence over Kevin Rudd? No. Would it be a complete beat up for any of you to publish a headline tomorrow? Simply to PM. Yes, it would. What I would like tomorrow's headline to focus on is the very real threat to civil liberties from the anti-association laws being introduced by most state governments. I'm not going to get into a lot of detail about the laws, as you'll soon hear from one of Australia's leading criminologists on what that will mean for every Australian citizen. But I do want to challenge the media to apply more scrutiny to these laws. A few years ago, when the former federal government proposed some very serious laws to deal with terrorism, there was a national outcry about the impact they would have on civil and legal rights. Speakers in this very room denounced the unjust aspects of those laws, and journalists across the country wrote large volumes about their impacts on basic legal rights. Due to that public scrutiny, many of the harshest and most unjust elements of these laws were removed or watered down. As we've seen in the last 24 hours, that doesn't seem to have affected the ability to combat terrorism. It's ironic that much of the criticism of the anti-terror laws came from state governments, most of whom are now passing equally bad laws at the state level. What's worse is that because governments claim the laws are targeted only at bikers, they're going almost unreported by the media. But these laws do not only affect bikers. In fact, the New South Wales legislation doesn't even contain the words biker or motorcycle club. These laws strip away fundamental legal rights, such as freedom of association, the presumption of innocence, open court hearings, and the right of appeal. And then they can be used against any group or individual. I challenge the media, both here today and around Australia, to look far more seriously at these laws. Apply the same level of scrutiny you apply to the anti-terror laws, because the impact on human rights is just as bad. I might be just one person, I'm just a dad from Western Sydney, but I'm telling you today, it's not just about me or even about people who ride motorcycles. It's an issue about human rights. It's an issue for every person listening to me here, in the press gallery, and at home across Australia. Don't just believe me. Find out for yourself. Read the legislation. You'll soon see why. what our governments are doing to us is a lot more scary than a few guys with tattoos and leather jackets. Thank you.
What I want everybody to understand is that's going to happen here. It's coming. We're not that far off. It's coming. Anybody wants to call in, the lines are open. The other thing I wanted to talk about was some people are talking about things with the show and how people listen to it and what they listen to and how they listen to it. And I've been asked to prove myself. I've never been asked to prove myself unless I'm in a court of law. The other day, I was downtown, and I got motioned over to talk to a guy I've known for over 20 years. When I went over to talk to him, someone questioned who I was talking to before I walked over that way, and I happened to be talking to one of the cops. It's an older guy, been here forever. I know him probably longer than I know the guy I was talking to. And he wanted to know what I was doing talking to the cop. Well, basically, I was just talking to the cop. How you doing? What's up? Where you been? Shit like that. Other than that, I don't divulge anything. How long have I been there? When? What time am I leaving? Shit like that. Nothing. The only comment I heard was, okay, so as long as I don't have to call in the troops, everything's okay. But that's how it is around here. I don't think I have to answer to anybody for anything that I do. Hello, Pete.
Hey, what's happening?
How much, man?
You got 2-for-1 special on that. I got Gino at my house.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You get the big mouth in the background. Yeah, say hi, Gino.
I mean no cookie, for Christ's sakes.
Gino, tell us a story, will you? Tell us about what happened here a month ago when that fucking detective and the Ford Explorer pulled you over. Tell us about that.
You see, I'm not the only one that gets that problem.
No, what happened was that Stady was behind me, and I don't know what the hell he was doing. But I'm driving along. I'm in my mother's car. And I think what he saw was because I was a big dude and I had colors on. And my father used to be a cop. So my mother always puts the cop thing on there, you know, for the police. And he stops me and asks me, where'd you get this car? She's cute. And I says, it's my mother's. And he didn't believe me, so he gives me a speeding ticket.
Yeah, there was like 7 state troopers that stopped him.
Oh, yeah.
The whole highway was full of cops. But then the guy that stopped him had a $1,000 suit on, a Gucci, a Gucci suit or what was it called? The guy that stopped him was plain clothes. He had like an expensive suit on. He doesn't even know who he was. He doesn't even know if he was a cop or a fed. That's the funny part of it.
But what was funny was he stopped, and then all of a sudden there's a bunch more coming, and I didn't understand that one at all.
It's just Mass State Police. That's how they roll, man. You should have seen when they arrested me. They had dogs out and everything, man. Guns.
No, you look like a criminal.
So do you. You don't want to look like a criminal. You look like a criminal too, man.
Hey, hold on 1 second. Evil E, are you there?
Yeah, what's up, Phil?
What's up, man? Hey, this is Evil E. He's calling us from the United Kingdom. And on the other line, we have Pete and Gino from Boston.
Amen.
But yeah, if that guy was wearing a $1,000 suit, he wasn't a fed.
Yeah, I think he was a state police detective. He was driving like a Ford Explorer, a black one. I've seen it around. They followed me a few times. Or he followed me. He gives him a ticket, you know, for three different things. Because they searched the car, they didn't find nothing, so they figured they'd give him a speeding ticket.
Wow, I'm going to fight
that. And a seatbelt ticket and a no travel, no left lane ticket. The guy was an idiot. typical cop, typical state trooper.
It was raining. How the hell am I going to get to the right? Cars were passing me on the right. I couldn't get over the line.
They pull a guy out of the car. How much do you weigh, Gino?
280.
Guy's 280 pounds. He's like a brick shit house. He's loaded with fucking tattoos. Most of them are tattoos that are definitely questionable. And the guy calls for backup. And seven state troopers show up. A dog and everything. Oh, man. Where are you going, Ed?
Well, that's like out here. They're gonna do a couple more motorcycle safety checkpoints.
They just do that. They do that, Phil, just to check up on people. You know, just to look for shit.
Well, what they're doing is that they're calling it the task force now because they're bringing everybody into it.
Yeah.
The reason they're heading up the task force is to target motorcycle safety.
I'm sick of the goddamn cops, man. I really am. I am really sick of it. They got me the other night and questioned me for 2 hours. They were looking for a guy that looked like me. I says, well, I live in a small town in Massachusetts. I said, you know, I live north of Boston. I don't live in Boston. I live in a small town, a little military town. And I said, I'm like the only person the whole town that has long hair and tattoos. And so they're like, oh, well, we thought it was you. I says, it's either me or it ain't me. You know, you can't hold me here like this. This is bullshit. I'm bringing my groceries in my house. What are you going to do? You going to arrest me? What are you going to do? It ain't me. Get the wrong guy. You know, I said, go a couple towns over the world. There's other people with long hair and tattoos. But in this town, you know, leave me the hell alone. They harassed me for like an hour and a half, about an hour.
That's like in Australia, man. Their police force strike called Raptor, and they've been targeting outlaw bikie gangs in New South Wales for over 2 years. But they say in that time they responded to over 6,000 incidents involving 21 distinct gangs. The team has revealed more than 100 bikie gang chapters across the state. But what? Probably the safest place in Australia right now.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Who's Evil E called in, huh? Is he there still?
Yes, I'm here.
Evil E, what's happening?
Yeah, how you doing?
I heard you're an important man now. Is that true? So, what do you think? No, we won't get into that.
What are we talking about tonight?
We'll leave it there.
Checkpoints?
Go ahead.
Point.
What are we talking about tonight?
Checkpoints. Safety checkpoints on bikers that aren't doing anything. They do it just to stop people and shake people down. They do it here all the time.
And what about the helmet law? I mean, that's totally out.
Tell them I've been riding 40 years.
Hold on. We get the man that wants to say something.
I just want to say one thing. 45 years riding on a Harley. I got a Honda Goldwing. They're probably going to stop me, giving me a harder time and start laughing at me. That's the problem.
There's nothing wrong with a Honda Goldwing. I mean, you know, if you didn't crash your shovel head, you'd be all set.
You know, I've got to say about the helmet law. I mean, why should bikers have to be told that they have to wear helmets? You know, I mean, if you want to go and ride a bike without a helmet, that's your choice.
I agree, and I agree, Dyke, I agree with the seatbelt law as well with that.
You know how I beat the helmet law? I had it on my kneecap.
How'd you beat the helmet?
Yeah, it doesn't say where
helmet.
You have to wear it. This is wearing one.
Because I'm wearing it. They never said where to wear it.
Oh,
that's right.
He never said where to wear it, so he put it on his knee, and he beat the
rap. That's pretty much like having a front license plate mounted on your car. It doesn't say where. It just says mounted.
That's true. But that was like 40 years ago, Gino. That wasn't like, you know, recently.
Well,
things have changed. It really cracked down.
5 years ago.
So, Evely, what's happening? Do they have a helmet law in England? That's my question to you.
I think they do, but saying that, I see 1%ers go around with no helmets here. I'm pretty sure.
Huh.
So,
do they do safety checkpoints in England? Like
they don't spike especially, but they do check people for speed and stuff, you know.
But do they pull up like roadblocks and stop people?
Yeah.
They do. Motorcycles?
not just
well,
particularly
you know,
for motorcycles, for everything, you know, drugs or a suspected
yeah.
killer or...
Well, you know, right now, you know, since everybody's talking about no helmets and people doing without it, if they could get 40,000 people just for one day to ride without a helmet and get a ticket, we'd shut down the court system here in California.
That's how we beat it in Connecticut. Nobody wore a helmet.
Right, I saw that. The same, yeah, I saw that today. There's another thing that came out about that. Rogue out of Florida wrote an article on that. But
how long has this helmet law been going on for, this helmet law debate?
Well, the one in Michigan right now, they have it where here's the two bills.
Yeah.
According to a report from the Detroit News, the House bill would allow riders 21 or older to go helmetless if they carry at least $20,000 in personal injury insurance to cover medical costs in case of an accident. The Senate bill would change the law so that the helmets would be required for 21-year-old and older who have passed a motorcycle safety course or carried a motorcycle endorsement on their license for the previous 2 years.
Hold on, you're live on here. You're going to be quiet.
What do you think of that?
I mean,
everybody has insurance, but I can't see carrying extra $20,000 worth of insurance just to ride a motorcycle.
That's ridiculous.
I think it's time for one of my favorite songs. We'll take this and then we'll pick it up after that. I gotta answer this phone call. So check this out. It's by Mike P, the Big Homie.
I'm a
What do you think about that? Evo. Well, I think we lost our callers. Pete, if you're listening, you can call back. Evo, if you're listening, call back. You had a lot of static. But, there's just a lot of things going on, you know, like with these police checkpoints. I got a guide here from the guys at Guerrilla Lawfare. It says you can get this at GuerrillaLawfare.com. I'll put it up in the chat room. But students will find this guide packed full of useful information on how to interact with law enforcement on or off the school grounds. This information is not legal. This information is not legal advice. You may find others dismissive of this manual. Too many people are of the impression no harm comes from full cooperation, and only criminals use these tactics. That's far from the case. We'll show you examples of innocent people sent to prison because of their cooperation in trying to help police find the actual bad guy. An introduction to police. The job of a police officer is a dangerous and exciting profession that attracts all kinds of people. Police officers have many different types of jobs, such as investigating robberies, homicides, frauds, and traffic accidents. I don't see anything in here about motorcycles. The best way to avoid an encounter with the police is to stay out of trouble. It is a very common policing investigative tactic to talk to friends or associates of a person who committed a crime. If you don't want to be subjected to that, don't associate with the wrong crowd. I don't know what the wrong crowd is because everybody's got skeletons in their closet. There is no guarantee that police will never want to talk to you regardless of the friends you keep. Keep reading to learn what to do to find out if you end up in a situation with a police officer paying more attention to you than you want. That happens to me every day. Basics. If you are approached by a police officer, there are some do's and don'ts that you should remember. Do be polite. Being rude is likely to hurt your situation and never improve it, or will never improve it. Do remain calm. Everything you learn in this guide is the best exercise when you're not anxious. Do assert your rights. Get that out of the way up front and don't forget later. Obey the instructions somewhat. If police tell you that you must stay, you can't leave, don't even try it. But if police tell you empty your pockets, you may politely refuse. Don't assume the worst. Police may actually need your help to solve a crime. Don't run away, innocent or not. If you run away, police tell you to stop, you're guilty. Don't tolerate misconduct. If police are behaving, call your supervisor and file a complaint. Actually, I call for a supervisor as soon as I get pulled over. Don't let police or a friend pressure you. Asserting your rights can be difficult. Friends may tell you that you're starting trouble. Police will play into that peer pressure. Don't fall for it. You probably heard on TV a police officer reading someone his rights when he's being arrested. It goes something like this. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. Do you understand these rights? Wonder why so many people hear this when there are handcuffs being tightened around their wrists but still answer police questions. If the warning read like this, do you think it would make a difference? You have the right to remain silent. You do not have to answer any questions police ask you. You wish to answer my questions that might land you in jail. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Nothing you say can be used to help you. Do you wish to try to convince me of your innocence, even though none of what you say will help you? You have the right to speak to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed for you. Do you understand these rights? Probably would help some people realize that explaining your side of the situation to police is a bad move. If what you can say can or will be used against you, can't possibly help you, why would you cooperate? You still have the right to remain silent. You still have the right to speak to an attorney. You also have the right to refuse a search of yourself or your belongings. You learned in history class about the wars our country fought to protect those rights. Barbary soldiers thought these rights were so important that they fought and died for them. Why not honor their sacrifice and use them? No matter what, do not physically resist police in any way. Verbally assert your rights, but don't resist. Police officers are well aware of your rights, but hope that you aren't. That's true. They won't like it when you assert your rights. You should be prepared to hear things. Only guilty people don't talk to police. Or if you have nothing to hide, why not let me search your car, backpack, or pockets? Don't let this discourage you. Police go through months of training learning how to get you to talk yourself into a jail cell. So just how do you assert your rights to police? Easy. If the police officer asks if he can talk to you, one easy method is to simply say no. If he persists or tries to convince you that you are required to talk to him, calmly and politely say something like this: I am exercising my right to remain silent and prefer not to answer any questions. If that doesn't work, the police officer is violating your rights and you have the right to request a supervisor and file a complaint against him. If you request a supervisor, police policy requires that one show up. Police ask if they can search you or your backpack or your car or wherever. Once again, simply no. Again, if they try to convince you, say something like this: I do not consent to any searches of my person or property. If they search it anyway, again, they violated the law. File a complaint. If they do happen to find something illegal, make sure you tell your attorney you refuse to consent, or have your attorney request a copy of the stop. 9 times out of 10, it's being recorded right now. Chances are good that whatever they find will be thrown out of court. Important tip: the law says you don't have to tell police your name if they ask, but you don't have to show them ID or give them any other information like your birthday, social security number, or address. So when students get the short end of the stick while the adults in the state enjoy their rights everywhere, students are forced to give up their rights when they go to school. Police think they have the authority to search you, your locker, your backpack, even your car, anytime you're on school property. And since kids can't afford lawyers, no one challenges this sickening abuse of authority. Rest assured, guerrilla lawfare knows of this great injustice and will work to rid our schools of this disease mentality. Officers can only, may try to pat you down. They only allow a pat down of your clothing to look for weapons, only if they have reason to believe you are armed and dangerous. If they try to pat you down, immediately state you do not consent to being searched, but do not resist them physically. They can only search for weapons. If they find what appears to be other contraband, they can only seize it if you give them permission. While it may be illegal to have a pack of cigarettes under the age of 18, that cigarette-shaped box may very well be a deck of cards. Only if you confess to it being cigarettes can they take them from and arrest you. If you are arrested, hopefully you will never find yourself in this unfortunate situation. But if you do, now at least it won't be because you talked yourself into it or let police search you because you were trying to prove you had nothing to hide. Again, do not resist or you may wind up in even more serious trouble. Just go with the officer. Over here, they threaten us with Penal Code 148. For impeding an officer in the performance of his duties. Refuse to answer questions and insist on having a lawyer. Whether you actually want to talk to a lawyer, it doesn't matter. Once you ask for a lawyer, police have to stop talking to you no matter what. If you do want a lawyer, don't ask police for help finding one. Ask your parents or a friend. Officer misconduct. Officer misconduct is improper and or illegal actions that are conduct by an officer. Misconduct comes in many forms. Example, being both physical and verbal abuses. Some physical misconduct you might experience includes slaps, kicks, or punches, or even tight handcuffs. Verbal abuses might include racial slurs and name-calling. Since police are supposed to uphold the law, it may be very disturbing for you to actually witness a police officer misbehaving. It is imperative that you control your emotions and not let yourself get worked up. Although it would be your fault, it may escalate the situation. If you witness misconduct or are the victim of police abuses, request to speak with a supervisor and file a complaint with the Internal Affairs Office. Ask the officer for his name and badge number or the incident number for your stop. If there are multiple officers, ask them all. Usually I ask them for a business card. Hello, Art. How are you? I'm numbers and write them down. If you don't have anything to write with, ask the officer for a business card. If he doesn't have one, ask him to write down his name, badge number, and incident number for you. But if you're not the one the police are talking to or arresting, do not interfere until they're done. Otherwise, they might try to intimidate you with arrest for something like obstruction, which again goes back to 148, like I said. I'm going to put this link up in the chat room. You guys can check it out, but it's www.guerrillalawfare.com. I see we're being joined by Art and Kimmy. Hello, you guys. You're right on that one, Art. True words, you will not hear from Leo. But if you are not, the other one is the first time you're in an encounter with law enforcement and use these tactics, you realize all the propaganda just isn't true. You actually can stand up for yourself peacefully and politely and refuse to help police throw you in jail. Others may be unlucky enough not to know these basics and talk themselves right into a pair of shiny new handcuffs. Once that happens, you'll feel empowered. You'll feel like you're part of an elite group of citizens that knows the police have no more power than you gave them. If you find the information in this guide useful, please share it with a friend. If you have questions or comments or would like to learn more, please join us online, and I put it up in the chat room. But, yeah, it's like, what do we do? Where do we go from here? You guys back?
Yeah, I'm here. I got cut off earlier for some reason.
Same here. I got cut off, too.
You did, too?
Yeah.
That happens from time to time. Let me check my little box here. No, they're not here right now.
I don't know.
So why did we get cut off then?
I don't know. Maybe it's because they're having some storms back east. I don't know.
Maybe.
Oh,
well, he's in England. We're in the United States. Hermes has a lot of... I have a lot of problems with getting on Hermes's sometimes. I get booted off and cut off and I can't get on a chat. He gets really mad about it, too.
Yeah.
Hermes gets really mad about it, doesn't he?
Takes the goddamn pill.
Oh, unruly. That's Jason. Yeah, Hermes, brother,
Evil, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Everybody's here.
Oh, I didn't know if I'd get cut off again.
I'm joking.
Can't believe that.
Okay.
I wonder what happened.
I don't know.
I don't know.
When I called earlier, Phil, like you were breaking up. You want a cell phone?
I want
to put him in. Be quiet for a minute, will you? When I called earlier, it was like you're fading in and out, your voice. Maybe it's my phone. I don't know. Maybe I called.
It might be. It might be I was holding. I was reading off the paper.
Oh.
So I was. My switch pages in front of my face.
Yeah, I noticed that too, Pete.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So...
yeah, it's my fault.
Well, that's good. As long as it's not this. I remember when they were tapping my phone last year. That every time I made a phone call, my voice would echo. I'd call people, and you'd hear shit in the background. And then I called this number. There's an actual number, and it's legal to do. There's a number you go online, you Google it, and you type in like, "Is my phone tapped?" And there's a number you call. And when you call a number, if you get like a solid, steady beep, that means that somebody's listening on your line. It doesn't have to be the police necessarily. It could be somebody just eavesdropping somehow. And if you hear no tone, if you hear a short tone, you're not being tapped. If you hear a long tone, you're being tapped. There's an actual phone number that you can call. You got to Google it. And you Google something like, "Is my phone? How to tell if my phone is being tapped?" So I called it, and I got the long tone. Beep. It was like last year, though. And I called since then, and it's fine now. But they were actually watching my neighbors, but they were tapping into my line somehow. For some reason.
Yeah, out in the box. They do that. They do that here, too.
They do?
Yeah,
I don't
know
why they're listening to me, because they ain't going to hear anything, you know?
Yeah, somebody here said it's always my fault. That's true.
I mean, they're going to hear me calling my mother. That's about it, you know? Hey, Ma, what's for dinner?
They're
listening to me
talking about
my mother.
We've got to get around there and get some of them.
Yeah. Hey, we got them around. He's calling his mother. God,
you need anything
to let up, do they?
Yeah, she So you need anything from the store while I'm on my way home?
Yeah, okay.
You might hear someone say, give me some donuts. Give
hey,
me some
Phil,
donuts.
Get a kick out of this one. Right? Gino's on his Facebook page. He goes, who's Philip? That goddamn guy at the radio station. The
oh,
guy
okay.
That's like, the host
oh,
of the show.
Otherwise.
He didn't even know how to
do it.
You know shit I got to put up with, man?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. No wonder why I've gone crazy. So how are things in England, Eva Lee?
Yeah, they're all right.
Is it raining or what?
Nope.
No? A lot of bikes on the road?
Nope.
Nope. No?
No. I think I've seen one, and that's been the first one. Then it weren't even a chop.
You've only seen
like
one motorcycle put on the road and you're in London?
Huh?
You've only seen one motorcycle and you live in London?
That's going down on the big
Yeah.
Do they have a helmet law there, or they don't? You didn't, you were
well,
saying earlier.
I mean,
is there a helmet law where you live?
Centers, I don't really see, I see some Hells Angels about May time of last year.
Do they wear helmets?
Pub, and they didn't seem to have any helmets with them at all.
I don't think they care. Good for them. Well, I guess it depends on what part of England you're in, just like here. I mean, well, actually, Massachusetts, the whole. But like California, right, Phil? Like some parts of California has a helmet law and some parts doesn't. Is that true?
No, the whole thing, the whole state does,
yeah,
but...
it could be that way. To be
it
honest,
depends
I don't
on where you're at.
I don't think the British police are mad enough to fuck around with the bikers, you know, with the 1%ers.
Well, they don't even carry guns, for starters. I mean, you know, the police...
Yeah, that's what I have to show you. Like, when they stopped this guy when there was a shooting at a club in England, the fucking armed police, they went absolutely mad, saying, don't fuck around, we've got guns, and, like, you get out and get against the fucking wall. And tell you what, if any cop like that had a talk, I'd have to send you the video. I'll tell them to fucking shoot me, you know?
I can't believe that they don't carry guns. I mean, I know some of the cops carry guns in England, but a lot of them don't in certain
parts. They don't in New Zealand either.
I mean, they need to go with the times, man.
Pardon?
Walking around billy clubs? I mean, batons? I mean, what do they carry?
Yeah.
Blackjacks? That's what they call them, blackjack.
No, they carry like expendable batons. And,
oh, just the baton? That's all they carry?
Yes, and tasers.
Why the hell don't they carry guns? I don't get it.
They have armed response units, they call them.
2011, man, not 19...
And I'll tell you what, the armed police officers over here, that's what happens when you get them. They think they're like, they think they're fucking God or something.
Really?
You get the armed response cops over here. Some of them I'd like to take around the back and give them a real good beat down to show them they ain't shit without their gun, I tell you. Because the normal cops don't carry guns, they get a security complex.
Yeah, well, just don't be wearing that shirt or that logo you sent up the other day.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Huh?
I knew that was coming.
What's that?
Why not? I'll wear it whenever and where I want. Let them
oh, you guys need to talk that one out. I don't want to even get involved in that.
No, I mean... Hey, sometimes when you put shit like that up, people get the message, but sometimes they don't. And then sometimes people want to test your manhood on that one.
Well, I agree. I agree with that, you know.
I told him it looked nice, but
you know how it is, man, you know, especially on Facebook. You know?
It ain't even that. That'd be like walking into a biker bar wearing all kinds of Sons of Anarchy shit. You're going to get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
Some guy was walking around the other day with a sweatshirt on with that on the back.
The same logo?
Yeah.
The bulldog?
No, the Sons of Anarchy stuff.
Oh. Well, here's my opinion on the bulldog guy. The Bulldog Club, we'll call it. They're not a motorcycle club. They never have been a motorcycle club. They're more like a social club, so to speak. However, the patch is deceiving. It's very deceiving. And the color and everything, Phil, you know, you've seen it. But we don't have to get into it. But, you know, it is not, they're not a motorcycle club. and they don't want to be a motorcycle club, you know. They're just a club, or whatever you want to call them. But, you know, those guys go back to the 60s, I believe. Started in the 60s.
Even before that.
They're just like a bunch of guys that hang out and party and get drunk.
Yeah.
That's all. But the patch, you know, the patch is deceiving. I mean, yeah, people are definitely going to ask about it. And, you know, but I don't know. I don't know. That we could talk for hours about that, about them. And I know who they are.
Yeah, it ain't going to really cause any trouble there, you know?
Yeah, they're not a motorcycle club. But
that's right. I don't understand what you're talking about, Phil.
Huh?
I don't understand what you...
You don't understand what I mean?
No.
Well, a lot of times when you try and portray different things...
Yeah.
Somebody will call you on it. And then if you can't back up what you're saying, and they happen to run across you somewhere just because they recognize your face, you better be a tough motherfucker because you're gonna get your ass whooped. That's how you gotta understand. That's how people are. They think and they take they react to things differently all over.
Well, obviously you gotta. You know, obviously, if you're going to start some type of motorcycle club, you have to get permission from the top club in the area, which we know who they are,
right.
and that's just the way it goes, and that's out of respect for them, and there's nothing wrong with that. I agree with it 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the way it's always been. That's the way it should be. Absolutely, I agree with that 200%. But, you know, what if it comes to, like what he's involved with, Phil, where, you know, it's... You're right. I mean, it's questionable. I mean, I don't know. But if it was me, I would definitely go to the top dogs and say, hey, you know, I want to start a club. Do I or do I not have your blessing? And I think that's the way it's always been that way, and it should be that way, you know.
That's it.
You have to respect, them, you know. You have to respect the red and white no matter what. I don't care what type of club it is. But
it's all the heavy hitters. Even the media says the lower echelon clubs. Everybody takes disrespect in a different way.
This guy I knew a few years ago, he started a motorcycle club. They were not 1%ers. The patch was black and white. I won't say the name of the club. We'll keep it out. But he and I were talking on the phone, and I said, he says, you know, you've been in this game for a long time. What do you think? I said, well, you need to go to, you know, the red and white and talk with them and tell them who you are and what you're about and what, you know, what you're going to do, what you're not going to do. And he goes, well, you know, I don't feel I need to do that. And he says, well, you know, no, you need to do it because that's the way it goes. And that's just out of respect. You have to do that. You're not a 1% club. That's fine. You're not claiming territory. You're not a gang, nothing like that, but you have a 3-piece patch, you have a state rocker on the bottom, and you have to, you know, get a blessing. And once you get that blessing, you'll be fine. It's the same thing with Christian clubs. Gino's in a Christian club. They had to go to the top dogs and get their okay, and they said, yeah, we're good with that. That's fine. You know?
We don't do that.
And, you know, they're a Christian club, Gino's club now, the Loyal Sons, but it's a 3-piece patch. And they went to the top club and they asked for the blessing, and they said, here's the patch, here's what it's going to look like, you know, here's our idea, here's who we are, and they said, fine, we're good with that, and you know, they go to their events and stuff, and that's it, and there's no more to it. But you're right, Phil. You put any type of patch on, a shirt or anything, portraying something, you know, sooner or later you're probably going to get some shit for it, you know. So that part of it I agree with, absolutely. But the club we're talking about, they're not a motorcycle club, but some people think they are because their patch, they do look like a motorcycle club. They do, I mean.
Right.
No, not the Sons of Anarchy. That's a TV show, Gino.
A lot of people win. They think that's a real club.
No, you know, and to tell you the truth, I've actually seen guys... not in person, but like on Facebook with Sons of Anarchy patches with the MC and everything, like it's a real club. I mean, what's that all about?
But it's just like the guy
that,
in Texas. That's just like the guy in Texas for $198. Just sell you the whole. He'll sell you the whole getup.
Really? I mean, I've
yeah,
seen guys
with,
like,
about a week.
I've seen guys from like you know, the Midwest, say, like, you know, wherever, you know, Ohio, wherever. We'll use Ohio for as an example. They have the top bar that says Sons of Anarchy, the Center Patch, MC, and Ohio on the bottom. And I seen that, and I'm like, what the hell? That's a TV show. That's not even a real club. But you're right. You go on eBay, and you see all kinds of stuff on there.
It's like if you're riding down the highway with that on, they can pull you over
because
half of them don't know it's a TV show.
Yeah, that's true. Don't leave your snort rag on my floor, Gino. That's nasty. Get rid of that. But,
I'm gonna use it again.
Anyway, so.
Yeah, there's some guys running around. Like, when that show first started, you could walk into any shop that sold motorcycle accessories,
and they were selling the T-shirts for $15 a pop, and people were telling them. First they came out, they were black and white. Then they came out to blue and white. So right now they're all blue and white. But when they came out with the black and white, everybody went crazy.
Really? Yeah. I was at Newbury Comics yesterday, and it's a Newbury Comics. They sell CDs and movies and stuff, and they had a discount rack, and it had tons of Sons of Anarchy stuff on it, shirts, everything, sweatshirts. And
yeah, did you walk right by?
Yes, I did. No, I love the show, and the guys that are up. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I'd wear a Sons of Anarchy shirt, you know.
Well, the only shirt I wear is Sons of Anarchy stuff now, are they?
I tell you, 7 days a week I wear my 81 red and white support shirts, and that's about it. I don't wear anything else. That's who I support. That's who I'll always support. I like the show Sons of Anarchy, but I don't think I'd buy a patch and a T-shirt and go around, you know.
Yeah.
No, not unless you're a bad motherfucker.
No kidding. I mean, you know, too bad we don't have Andy McPhee on here to see what he thinks about it all. You know, that'd be interesting.
It.
You know, I mean, guys with patches, with Sons of Anarchy patches going around, and with a bottom rocker of their state. I don't get that. Where do they get
yeah.
the shit from? Does it come from eBay? Is that where it's coming from? I mean, I've seen it.
It's not like anything produced by the show, is it?
No, he said it. You pay $165 on eBay and buy it from some Joe Schmo, the whole getup, you know?
Right.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, you know, any type of club, you know, especially motorcycle club, you have to get a blessing, that's all. That's the moral to the story.
Yeah.
You have to get a blessing,
yeah.
You have to. It's just tradition,
yeah,
it's always been that way,
it
out of respect.
That's foolish, yeah, that's right.
But, you know, some people will look at a patch and take it the wrong. Like, my friend is in a club called the Rough Riders. Now,
yeah.
What they are is they're not a motorcycle club, but some of them do have motorcycles, and they have custom cars, and they do stunts and all that stuff. And, you know, to him, before he joined the Rough Riders, they prospected him for like 6 months. I told him, I says, they're not a he wanted to join a motorcycle club. I said, they are not a motorcycle club, the Rough Riders. They're like a stunt. They have custom cars. They're a moto club, just like Gino says. And I said, you know, if you're looking to, you know, prospect for a motorcycle club, then prospect for a motorcycle club. But the Rough Riders are not they're not a motorcycle club. They're a
motorcycle. Oh, here we have a group called the Rough Riders. They are a motorcycle club.
Yeah, that's a different Rough Riders. I'm talking about the ones they have the big R.
Puerto Ricans, for Christ.
They have the big R on their back. That's the patch, just an R. That's all it is, Phil. It's an R on the back, you know. I know what you're talking about. I've seen the other Rough Riders that you're talking about, which, you know, they're a motorcycle club. But these guys are just like a moto club. Like, half of them walk. They don't even have cars. But I tried to explain that to my friend. I said, you know, they're not a motorcycle club. And then I asked him, I said, so, you know, does your club get permission or what? How's it go? And he's trying to tell me that they do and they don't. He didn't even know, for Christ's sake. He just got his patch a week ago. But, you know, I told him, you know, hey, don't abuse it, man. Don't abuse it. Don't try to be something that you're not.
Right.
It's going to come back and bite you in the ass.
Now he's trying to be a Puerto Rican.
All right, anyway. No, you're right, but still, I mean, you have to respect it and respect the, 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 you
know, if you want to start a club, obviously you have to get a blessing. It's as easy as that. That particular image that we're talking about,
it's a hip hop
with the bulldog. I think it's cool, but when I first saw it, I definitely questioned it, you know. But then I read a lot about these people, and they're just a bunch of guys that go out drinking and get laid. That's all they do.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, they're a bunch of cool guys, and they go out, and they're tough, and they fight, and they drink, and, you know, they're more like a social club. We get a lot of social clubs around here, too.
F-Troop,
yeah. What is F-Troop, anyway? Who the hell is F-Troop?
It's a group of guys who go bar from bar.
But they ride motorcycles, though,
yeah,
don't they? Do they consider themselves a motorcycle club?
No. Motorcycle.
They have a patch, though, don't they?
No, yeah. They have a jacket saying F-Troop.
What the hell is the F stand for? What does the F stand for? Fuck.
Did you ever see the TV show F-Troop?
Yeah, I've heard of it, but, you know, that was probably before my time.
The Indians and...
the Indians, there you go. It's way before my time.
No, the F-Troop is a satire of, these guys in a fort, and one sells whiskey and that. And
yeah, okay.
The Indians, how they got their name, they were following the Apaches into the woods, and they didn't know where they were, so they yelled out, "Where the heck are we?"
So
that's what the name of the Indian group was called, the Hakawis.
Yeah.
That's how they got their name.
Did they ride motorcycles, the Indians? Oh, no, they rode horses. See, I told you that was before my time.
They were scared. They just...
Anyway, at least we had some laughs, right? So that's all about. Oh, man, there's going to be a full moon tonight.
It was a funny show. If you ever see it on tape, it's a real bright.
Phil's trying to talk, and Gino's blowing his nose in the background. Honk. Oh, my God. God,
so what's up, man? What's on the agenda?
What's on the agenda?
You got me.
How's your brother doing, by the way?
Oh, good that you brought that up. Thanks for asking. He's back in the hospital again. He had another breakdown. A mild breakdown, and he's doing good, actually, because he's locked in a hospital and about an hour away from here. And he definitely wants to still come on the show and tell his story about his wrongful arrest and imprisonment. However, at the present moment, like he said, he's in a... could you let me speak, please? It's about my brother. He'll be out in about a month, so, you know, a lot of people have asked about my brother, and he has issues and mental health issues and stuff, but he just seemed like he took a break. He needed to get the hell out of here, and so he's over at some rich hospital a couple hours away, actually, from here, and they're taking good care of him. He had one incident since he's been there, but other than that, he's fine. They got him medicated, but, you know, prison will do that to you. It definitely, he never handled prison well. He's been in prison a few times. And every time he goes in there, he always ends up fighting people, and, people start with him, and he educates them. And he, unfortunately, when he got out of jail, out of prison, he was messed up from it, and his brain went somewhere else, never came back. Good guy, though. I love him to death. But I'll tell him you were asking for him. He always wants to go on and tell his story, but he gets nervous, you know, because my first time in the radio show, even though, you know, it's an internet radio show, but it's still a radio show, and you have a lot of listeners, you know. And I was very nervous, and it was Hermes' show that I did, and I was stuttering and everything. But I don't know what the hell to say, and my brother's like, what do I do? I said, just tell your story. He was ready one night to tell it, then he wasn't ready, but he'll have a nice little month-long vacation. He'll get out, we'll get him on the show, we'll get him on Hermes' show, we'll get him on your show a couple times. And
on my TV show.
We're going to get him on Gino's TV show.
Yeah.
I'd like to get everybody on Gino's TV show. Phil, Bill, Hermes, me, Evil E, Gino, my brother. That'd be pretty cool.
Call a human factor.
I'll see some of those guys this weekend at the Paralyzed Vets Run. If the scheduling doesn't change, during the shooting schedule doesn't change, they should be down Saturday.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
How's the weather there, Phil?
Anywhere from 65 to 72, sunny, partly sunny.
Oh, wow.
Kind of foggy at night, dissipates in the morning.
Nice. Can't get better than that, man.
No.
That's
but,
great. I mean, it's
real. Now, we got a cold thing coming in where they said that it's shifting off the coast and we might get snow this weekend at 4,000 feet.
Wow. I never knew it snowed. I mean, it's stupid as
snow.
That. I never knew that it snowed in California. I know it does, but, well, now I do. Now I do.
Yeah, well, that's like the song, It Never Rains in California Either.
But it does. It does, doesn't it? It rains in California, doesn't it?
Yeah, anywhere from
it snows in California, it must rain in California. I don't know, man. Boy. I think we all should live in California, honestly.
Yeah. Just before the earthquake.
Yeah, before the earthquake. There's been earthquakes
yeah.
in California for years. You can't predict the earthquakes there, you know? What do you take a chance?
But they found radioactive milk in the cows now.
Radioactive milk in the cows. Unbelievable. Do you know that all that radiation from Japan, they were testing the water in Massachusetts because they thought that our water was had radiation and it contaminated from all the way from Japan. I couldn't believe it. My mother told me. She's like, because I don't watch a lot of TV. She's like, did you see the news? I said, no. She goes, they think that the water's contaminated here from Japan. It has radiation. I said, you got to be kidding me. I don't drink the water. I don't even drink water. I drink soda.
Then I have a nuclear war.
But my dogs drink it, you know. My dogs drink the water, and I know people that drink the water, and I brush my teeth with the water. I don't want my teeth to fall out. Oh, man, what's the world come to?
Yeah.
Book of Revelations, man, end of the world type shit, you know.
Well, that's just like the state of California just submitted to Washington, D.C. to get $40 million and be declared a disaster area for the tsunamis that supposedly hit.
Everybody was surfing.
Everybody was surfing, he says.
Absolutely. Why not?
Where's our English
play? It's like these guys, you know, they're so broke now that they doubled the fines. The CHP was told to write 30% more tickets this year. It's ridiculous, man.
What's the price of gas out there, man?
I paid $4.27 for premium this morning.
Oh my God, that's expensive. It's three something here.
Yeah, and I don't know why it's $1.29 in Canada.
It's $1.29 in Canada? Are
yep.
you serious? Oh
it's
my God.
It's really $129. They just don't know how to read it.
No,
it's $1.29.
Wow.
Cool.
Unbelievable. We're getting dicked.
We can have our
if I knew it was gonna be this bad, I would ask for a reach around.
Who wasn't fucking? Ooh, excuse my language. I don't like to swear on the radio. It was Hermes. He asked what a reach around was one time, and I think it was you, Phil. Said, "Wait a minute, you don't know what that is? You've been in prison."
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, "No, what is that? Like, you've been in prison. You know what a reach around is? No, I don't. I was in federal prison. Same thing, you know. Whatever, prison's prison, man."
Somebody just typed in it's $389 in New York.
$389?
Yeah.
It's $351 here. Last time
I checked. Good stuff.
$351. Yeah, Obama's doing a great job. Oh yeah.
Could have had my new Holly by now.
I know. No kidding. That's true. The amount of gas we're putting in our cars, we could have all brand new $30,000 bikes. You know, seriously, man.
And cable.
Poor Gino's riding a Honda Goldwing. Because he has to put gas in his truck to go to drive his mother around. Yeah, great country we live in. Lovely. We have our own oil too. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah.
No. Why don't we use our own oil? We got to keep buying from everybody else.
Yeah, I hear that one.
I mean, that's you know, there's no wing that. There's no winning that situation. We'll never use our own oil. We're always going to buy from
everyone else our oil. Okay. You ever read the Bible?
I've read the Bible many times.
But it
didn't talk about gas prices.
God said to the Egyptians, "Have a good fruitful first 7 years and 7 years of drought." So the first 7 years, they put away everything so they could sell it to the...
Anyway, I don't think they talked about gas prices in the Bible, but...
It's just,
you know,
like that. That's what you got to do. When you're fruitful, we've been fruitful for 10 years, and now we're going downhill. We should have kept some of that money. That's all.
Money.
You know what I mean?
Money.
Jelly bean?
Money, 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 money. It's all about money. Money just...
But it is. It's all about the dollar.
It destroys everything, doesn't it?
Just like drugs. Destroys everything.
It's $3.89 just for regular in New York.
I'm sorry, New York deserves it.
That's our neighbor, man. What do you mean?
Yeah, it's our neighbor.
No.
Did you ever see that movie?
I remember when gas. Yeah, the Highlander. Yeah, I know Christopher Lambert. Met him a couple times. Very nice man, actually. But I remember when gas went to $2 a gallon. Yeah. And everybody was in shock. But then when it went up to $3, everybody was like, it went up to like $2.50, and everybody, and it would drop a couple cents to like $2.47. Everybody said, wow, $2.47 a gallon, that's cheap. Now it's, the other day I was with my mom, and we're driving down the road in her town that she lives in, and one place was $3.53 a gallon, and another place was $3.51. And my mother said to me, wow, $3.51, that's a lot cheaper than the other places. It's not, that's not cheap at all. That's piracy. Seriously,
yeah.
These gas stations—that's pirate shit. You know, I mean, come on, $3.53 a gallon, $3.51 a gallon. Give me a break. You put $20 and you get what? Not even 7 gallons.
Well, that's like when I first got my driver's license in 1972. Okay, $5 in the tank. Used to go to the movie the same night. $5 in the tank, could ride around all night, go to the movies, have dinner, get a 6-pack of beer for under $20.
Yep.
Try doing that now.
Nope, I remember those days, bro. I used to put $10 in my tank and it'd fill it. I used to be like, give me 10 on number pump number 2, and I'd go, and I'd have 3/4 of a tank, at least.
Not to say how old I am, but it was only 25 cents for a movie, $30 a month for rent, and $5 for gas, for electricity and oil, whatever, 10 cents for popcorn.
Oh, my God. That had to be, what, 1910?
No.
The 1800s?
1958.
Gino has a birthday coming up. We won't say how old he's going to be. He's going to be 40, actually.
Yeah.
That's like in between paydays. If I was hungry, I used to ask my girlfriend, hey, you got a couple dollars? Why? And we'd both get 2 hot dogs, fries, sandwich, or a combo beef with sausage. Everything for under 5. 2 sandwiches, a drink, and fries for under $5. Try finding that now.
No. Impossible. And
cost you $5 just for the soda.
Yeah, that's true. Right. You ever notice that? It's $2 for a soda. Small. I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken yesterday.
It's cold here, man.
I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken yesterday, Phil. And
Yo, you there?
Go ahead.
I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'll make it quick, and Evilly, you can talk. I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Not that this has anything to do with your show, but I went in, and they had a lovely-looking chicken sandwich, and it was chicken with bacon and cheese, and I said to the girl, give me that as a combo. She gave it to me. I walked out to my car, got in the car. I opened it up, and it was a chicken patty the size of a silver dollar. It had a piece of old-ass white cheese on it, a little bit of mayonnaise, and instead of fresh bacon like it shows in the picture, it had crumbled bacon bits on it. I threw it out the window. $8. And $8 for that. I was pissed. Because $8 is a lot of money.
I didn't took it back in. It. Can I have what you saw in the picture?
I was so mad, bro. I probably would have got arrested. Honest to God. I was so mad. I probably would have got arrested, and the girl was terrified of me to begin with when I walked in. She's like, can I help you? I'm like, yeah.
Hey, but the moral to this story is it'd have been all right if you got a reach around.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, what is a reach around? Remember Full Metal Jacket? The guy from Full Metal Jacket, Ali Ermey, the drill instructor. I met him at he was at the World of Wheels car show in Boston. He says that when they're in the boot camp. You wouldn't even have the common courtesy to give me a reach around. I always remember that. I love that guy, man. Ali Ermey. He's my hero, man. I see him
twice a year.
You met him before, Phil?
I see him every year.
Oh,
for the last 15 years.
Yeah, he's gonna be.
He does the Marine Corps ball, and then he does the Toys for Tots. And we helped him out this year with $1,000.
Oh.
And it wasn't for, it was Toys for Tots, but he usually does, he does the Toys for Tots, but he does for the older kids. Because people never remember the older kids. They always remember this, when the key word there is tots, so they always buy for little kids. But he always pushes for the older kids, which is good because it's just like, Our women in the military, we always push because mostly everybody thinks it's all men, but there's women too. You know, Bill always tells the story about this girl who says, who would go out with me because I'm missing an arm and the other one's missing a leg? Who would go out with me? And Bill says, I don't look at that. I look at you. I look you in the eye. I look at the person. I don't look at the yeah. I don't look at the whole person. He does, you know, he looks at the whole person. He looks at his eyes and stuff. He doesn't see that stuff. It's just like I tell people
with,
when you walk up.
Name, Robert Patrick. I was looking at his picture again with you. You and Robert Patrick together. I can't believe he's a president of the Booze Fighters. That's too cool, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's president of the Hollywood chapter.
Yeah, Robert Patrick, the guy from the X-Files. He played in Terminator.
He's the president of the Booze Fighters.
He's the president of the Booze Fighters, man. He's a cool, he's a good actor.
That's
like
some
him.
Of the oldest clubs around or something,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, they are old. How long have the Booze Fighters been around for, Gino?
1948, maybe?
48?
Yeah, they hung up everything 30 years ago. They just styled up again in the last 10 years.
Yeah, Robert Patrick.
Willie
hung up and restarted, right?
Yeah. They restarted because of Wino Willie in them.
Right.
Yeah, it started, people started asking about it again.
Right.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the original Hells Angels from San Bernardino wasn't only an airplane place that... They started out in the northern part. They were called the Yellow Jackets.
Right.
So
the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah. A lot of different clubs. The Mufus became Hells Angels. They were the motherfuckers out of Frisco.
I remember Charlie Manson was involved with a club called the Straight Satans. Remember them? You must remember them, Gino.
Yeah.
The Straight Satans. That was Manson's club.
That's
he wasn't
that's
a really member,
cool,
but he...
That's
what that was.
A cool name, isn't it?
Huh?
That's quite a cool name, isn't it?
Yeah, Straight Satans. They're not a club anymore, but that was Manson was involved with them.
Yeah, you know, Pete, you know, you're saying about, like, you only use names and colors with someone's blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, you know. I'd only ever use, you know, a certain color or a certain patch with someone's blessing. I mean, that'd be stupid, wouldn't it?
Well, that's what I try to tell people that want to start clubs or that, you know, that want to start clubs.
That's right. Yeah.
I tell them, it's common sense. You have to, we're changing the subject here.
That's
but
what
it,
I'm saying as well, Phil, and we all agree
sense.
With you with that. You know what I mean?
You just, all it is a blessing, and like
yeah,
I said,
you know,
Gino's in a Christian club.
The
club got the blessing, and they're good to go.
That's right, yeah.
A three-piece patch, they got the blessing, they're good to go, and that's all it took, you know?
That's what I'm saying, too, you know, Philip. So,
yeah.
But I'll give you a call offline about that, if that's all right.
Go with me or Phil?
Hmm?
Go Phil or me?
Phil.
Oh, Phil, yeah, all right.
I'll give you a call later or something.
Okay. Hey, don't feel like you're neglected. Evilly tries to split his time with everybody, and maybe I can answer his questions a little better than you can, since I'm
no, absolutely.
In the middle.
I mean, I'm just trying to help him out, and, you know, I know, obviously you know, and I know about the, you know, the bulldog.
But you know,
hey, the Bulldogs for my fucking, the Bulldogs for my country, peeps.
Oh, I know it is. I know it is.
The Marines.
But the Bulldog is the question here.
Yeah, no, London next.
Yeah, yeah.
U.S. Marine Corps.
But that's not what he's talking about.
Oh, they're a bike club. The,
I know they're a bike club.
The Bulldog.
Oh, yeah.
And they have, they also got permission to use a three-piece patch.
They got permission?
Yep.
Who, the Marine Club?
Yep.
Oh, you're a Marine. There you go. Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
Well, somebody, oh, there's a bike club in the Marine, there's a Marine Corps patch using a Bulldog, too, is there?
Yeah, there's a Bulldog. That's what the Leathernecks wear.
Well, I have a few friends that are in the Red Knights, which is a firefighter club, and they hang out down.
Firefighter club. I never heard of one of them.
Yeah, they're called the Red Knights, and their patch isn't a three-piece patch, but it is a back patch. And I was talking to them, and I asked them. I said, you know, everything cool with with this patch? And they said we went and we got a blessing. And, we're good, we're happy with it.
Respect, honor, and manner. And that's what I'm all about, too, you know?
Oh, I know you are, bro.
Yeah.
I know you.
Hell yeah.
I know you, and I get your back when people say
things.
Yeah,
that's right. Pete's got my back.
But I always say it like
Gino,
it is.
Gino, I love you, too, you know? Gino, you hear that?
Oh, yeah, man, we got you. We got you, man. We got you.
Yeah.
We got you, bro.
Uncle Gino.
Uncle Gino.
Yeah. My granddaughters all say that.
The funny thing about Gino is, right, he's a pretty well-known guy because, it's Gino Gentile. He's a famous man that has a couple TV shows and a famous 1% biker and now in a Christian club and all that. And everybody says, oh, he's my uncle. I must have heard that from 100 people. Gino's my uncle. Gino's my uncle. Gino's my uncle.
Well, that goes back to what I was talking about earlier. How many people would you know that, like, especially women, Pete? I mean, you hear them, like, say,
I got
of course, you're right. I know what you're referring to. Everybody says that they're their uncle. Oh, that's my uncle.
That's my uncle. I got an uncle in the mafia. That's
my mother.
Oh, yeah, I got a mafia. I got an uncle who's the head of the triads.
Yeah, well, that's the other big thing. I have an uncle that's in the Italian mafia. Big deal. I have many uncles that are in the Russian mafia. They didn't give a shit about the Italian mafia. No offense, but come on,
We used to do I was training for being a bodyguard once. And you would have someone that was there. We used to call them Boy Scouts in a trade. And this particular Boy Scout, he would like everything you ask. I mean, you get him a lot in this fucking community.
Yeah,
everything you talk about. He'd know everybody that does it, and half the time it don't. Oh, my mate does this. Oh, my mate does that. Oh, my dad's friend does this. And those kind of people drive you mad, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep, I hear you.
Man,
so
yeah, it's like anything else, man. Anything you want to do, you always need to ask permission or you need to check on what you're doing. So you don't get bit in the ass.
Oh, yeah, of course. Fuck.
I agree, man.
You need a smoke.
It's just common sense. It's you have to. That's the way it goes. Christian clubs do it. Military clubs do it. Firefighter clubs do it.
Sonny Badger calls the Christian clubs 2%ers.
Yeah.
I told Sonny
2%ers.
2% of the 2% because we don't have enough members to have a calendar made.
That's a good one. Huh? He doesn't have enough members in his club to have a calendar made, so he's known as a 2%er.
Yeah.
That's true. You only get, how many members do you have now? Seven, six, seven?
Yeah, we have
the Loyal Sons, they have chapters in Plymouth, too, don't they? And down in...
we have 8 and 3 in Plymouth.
They're growing.
They're growing.
I'm not going to give out the website because I'm actually building them a new website, and I don't want people to go to the old website.
May 7th.
Well, ask Phil. I'm sure he'll let you do it. Phil, can he throw something out there? Gino?
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Yeah, if he's got a flyer, send me the flyer.
All right. Just
yeah.
Tell him.
Yeah, our club is going to... Oh, May 7th, 2011 is going to have our bike blessing in Wakefield.
Massachusetts.
The
name of the club is?
The Loyal Sons.
Yeah.
Loyal Sons Motorcycle Club, Wakefield, Massachusetts. Blessing of the Bikes on what's the date again?
May 7th.
May 7th. What time?
10 o'clock.
A.M.
Yeah.
10 a.m. till whenever.
Whenever.
Come on down if you're around. Good time. I've been to these. I've been to their events, the Loyal Sons, and they're a good bunch of guys. And I'll tell you one thing. They know how to roast a pig.
Yeah.
Well, I think I need to have a reach around then.
What's that?
It's going to cost me quite a bit of fare.
July 16th is their pig roast also.
July 16th?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's if U.S. immigration will let me in.
I think I was the only one at the pit. Well, I won't even bring that up. But anyway, so they it's a good time. And that's so they have the bike blessing and the pig roast in July. Loyal Sons.
I've always wanted to come back to America, but it's sort of, you have to fucking get clearance. I think I've said this before, and I remember sure you have to get
You're not
clearance.
A criminal. You don't have to get clearance. Just leave the goddamn country. I
no,
can't
you
leave.
Have to get written. You have to get, so if you know about this, to fly to the United States, you need clearance, don't you? Doesn't matter who you are.
Bro, Gino and I can't even leave the country. We can't even leave the state.
Thank God we don't have to have it from state to state.
Yeah. He says, thank God we don't have to have a clearance to go from state to state. We wouldn't be able to
you
leave.
You need clearance before you get on the plane to the United States of America.
You're echoing evil. But in the United States, I just heard in Texas, and I don't know, and I understand this has been going on for a while. But when you apply for a job now, you have to prove to Homeland Security that you have the right to work in the United States.
That's really? Right. You know the way the system works, man.
I wish I was in England.
You check it out online. You know, pretend you're gonna fly from outside the United States to fly to the United States. You need clearance before you can do that.
You need clearance to leave England to come to the United States?
No, you need clearance with the U.S. probably security so before you can fly out.
So what do they give you, like a cavity check or what? I mean, what does it involve?
Make sure you're not a terrorist or something like that, probably.
Huh. Could be a reach around, too. You never know.
Check this out, man. I was getting some lightning bolts tattooed on my neck the other day, and Gino shows up at the tattoo shop, and he says, you can't get into Germany now. You have any type of lightning bolts or swastikas on your body, you ain't letting you in. He says, I ain't getting in anyway. I'm a goddamn criminal now. I can't leave the country. And I said, furthermore, they're just regular lightning bolts. They're not SS room lightning bolts. They're just regular lightning bolts. Everybody thinks they're not.
Well, you could fly to Europe, and you could, like, go straight over the border. There's no checks in the European borders. Yeah, check it out, right? We have a lot of clandestines trying to get into the UK. And here's what happens. The French police will catch them. No, the British border force will catch them. And they'll hand them over to the French police. Now, what the fuck do you think the French police do?
They give up easy.
That's pretty much right, Gino.
What
the bastards do, they goddamn turn them loose to try again.
If it wasn't
the French police don't even deport them.
Yeah, like my father said, he was on the patent. France would have never even been able to go anywhere if it wasn't for America getting them out of the trouble they were in. But we had to pay him back for helping us in the colonial wars.
Hmm. The American War of Independence.
Oh, some French people are pretty nice. I mean, you know.
Yeah, especially the girls.
Especially all the hot girls that send me friend requests. I hope they're listening. Actually, the prettiest girls that I've ever seen are from Slovakia, man. Slav girls. They're hot. Are there any Slav listeners tonight, Phil, or what?
How many do we have listening tonight?
Does that show up? How many people are listening tonight?
Hold on a second.
God damn.
Does
she have your phone number? Ask her.
All right, right now, Right now in the United States, we got 3166. Brazil, we got 522. Germany, we got 358. Canada, we got 346. Australia, we got 310. New Zealand, we got 200. United Kingdom, we got 99. Denmark, we got 58. Russia, we got 40. France, we got 9. Poland, we got 9. Canada, I said what Canada is. Indonesia is 8. Malaysia is 1. New Zealand's 1. And Ukraine is 1.
Oh, Ukraine. Cool.
Ukraine got 1?
Hey, did you hear that? In New Zealand, too, Evil. New Zealand.
How many New Zealand got?
Cool. How many New Zealand? Ask Phil. He just read it. New Zealand.
How many what?
New Zealand. How many New Zealanders are listening?
Hang on. I got to go back to it.
Pay attention next time, Evil.
200.
Wow. 200 New Zealanders? Wow.
Wow.
Cool.
Oh, man, I'm in trouble.
I have some New Zealand friends from New Zealand. They're pretty cool.
I want to say hi to the seed of Abraham MC down there in New Zealand.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Anyway.
I gotta go down and take a test. So probably about the next 10 minutes, I'm gonna play Charlie Baker's song, check something out, and then I'll come back after Charlie's song. But this is Baker. It's at bakersongs.com. This one's called Ride.
Passing me by, soaking up every detail.
Yeah, I just wanted to give Charlie a plug before we go off, but now I gotta go down and get an ultrasound, so I planned the show a little early tonight. Unfortunately, they couldn't get me in until late at night.
I hope you're okay.
Yeah, I'll be all right. And then I'll see you guys Thursday. So I'm just kidding. Instead of wishing for a reach around, maybe you guys are like, I'm going to close this out with a Kiss song, see if you guys figure this one out.
We'll have to ask Hermes what a reach around is tomorrow night. All right, brother. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah, Phil.
Good night, everybody.